Good morning. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue again in 1 Peter. We've skipped over some verses because this is Good Shepherd Sunday. They skipped over to passages that have shepherding as part of them. Next week we'll go backwards in 1 Peter. Peter is writing to people again who are isolated, kind of in the area that is now modern-day Turkey. They are recent converts to Christianity. They're both Jews and Gentiles that have converted to Christianity. They're isolated not only because they are far away from the central part of where Christianity is located at the time, but also because they're surrounded by pagan people. They are very much isolated little pockets of Christians surrounded by the rest of the pagan world. And because they are isolated and because they are different from those around them, they are suffering. They're suffering different kinds of persecution. And Peter tells us flat out that they are suffering unjustly. They don't deserve the suffering that is before them. And suffering is a big part of Peter's letter to these people. And in this, Peter gives them encouragement as they suffer unjustly. But listen again to what Peter tells them, because Peter is going to give the people what their calling in life as Christians are. And it's not an easy calling. Peter tells them in verse 20, the second half of verse 20. But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called. That's a hard word to take. Peter tells them, you have been called as Christians to endure suffering even when you do not deserve it. Even when your suffering is unjust, your calling as a Christian is to endure it. This is to what they are called to as Christians. As I was studying this passage this week, I tried to think of how we might, as people living in Linton, North Dakota, not so much isolated communities of Christians, how we also might suffer in this world because of following Christ. Have you not been able at some point in your life to go along with friends on what they were doing because it didn't jive with what you know God's will is? That might be a way that people suffer, especially young people. I think of people in college, especially high school, who have a faith, and they also have friends, and their friends call them to do things that don't match what their faith calls them to do. Have you lost friends because they conflict with your faith? That right there, that's suffering. Or maybe you've been passed up at work, or maybe you've missed a financial opportunity because something there conflicts with what you know God commands upon you. Maybe your integrity doesn't allow you to do the things that a boss is asking you to do, or doesn't allow you to go in on a deal at the farm that you know would be beneficial financially, but it just doesn't sit right with what you know God wants you to do. That is a way of suffering for the faith. Maybe you've given up some creaturely comforts that the rest of this world has because following the Lord has taken you in a different direction. that might be suffering. Anytime you have stood up for the cause of Christ, stood up for Scripture, stood up for Jesus Christ, and you have been ridiculed by someone, that is suffering, and it is suffering unjustly. In our day and age, political and civil rights are at the head of everything, and everybody, whether they're Christian or not, feels that somehow or some way they are being persecuted upon. There will come a time where Christians will lose rights, lose maybe political advantage, and we will suffer for it. Anytime we choose the way of Christ rather than the way of temptation, rather than the way of sin, rather than the way of the world, we suffer. In fact, anytime you are at home or out at work or wherever and you are resisting temptation, the temptation to give in to some desire that you have, something that you want so bad, but you know God doesn't want it for you, that also is suffering. Peter calls the people to endure this suffering. He says it is their calling that God has given them. And in this, he then gives them an example to follow. And the example he gives them to follow is none other than Jesus Christ himself. The second half of verse 21 says, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. And here's what Jesus did. Here's how we're supposed to follow this example. Peter says that Jesus committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. In other words, any time that Christ endured suffering, as they were nailing him to the cross, and the very physical, emotional, mental, painful suffering that Christ went through, as he took the lashes from the soldiers, he took the spitting, he took all the mockery, how Jesus behaved at that time is the example for us to follow. He did not mutter words against those who beat him. He could have called down angels to defend him, to wipe out the very people that were laying curses upon him, but he did not. He did not threaten or warn them as he suffered. Instead, Jesus entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He entrusted himself to God. This is the example that Peter lays out before his readers. This is the way we as Christians are supposed to be. All the suffering that Christ took and the way that he responded to it is how you and I are to act as well. So you see, of course, the conundrum. You see, of course, where then our failure is. Because if you look at that example of Christ and see, well, I'm supposed to do that, you know exactly where you stand, right? You know exactly how you have failed almost every single day in following that example. Because that example of Christ really does better to show us just how far off the example we really are. Instead of enduring the mental and physical pains of suffering, even if they are minor ones, we tend to want to do one of two things. One is we give in to that which is causing us suffering. We maybe go along with our friends and we leave Christ at the wayside. We go and do that business deal even though we know it's not quite right, and we make our financial gains. We give in to temptation instead of resisting and enduring through it. And we delight in the pleasures of the flesh. We give in is one option, or we do the opposite of what Christ did. When our rights are threatened, does our demeanor and language look like that of the language and demeanor of Jesus? Or do we retaliate? Do we threaten? Do we warn? Do we mutter and utter curses back at those who have taken our rights, who put suffering unjustly upon us? Do we fight back? In other words, do we entrust ourselves to ourself rather than the Lord our God who judges all things justly? It's a hard word this morning, this letter from Peter. And it's not real often in Scripture that we get the deeds of Christ and as an example to follow. But we do get it. But here's the key. Anytime we get Christ held up as an example of someone to follow, we also are reminded of what Jesus has done for us and how Jesus has affected us and how Jesus has looked at you, called you His child, taken your heart of stone, made it into a heart of flesh, a heart that follows after Him. And we get that here as well. Verse 24, Jesus Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By His wounds, you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the Shepherd and guardian of your souls. By the cross of Christ, you are freed from your sin. By the cross of Christ, you have died to your sins. That's what the Greek here literally says, is that you have died to your sins. You are a new person in Jesus Christ. Jesus has made you new. But you and I both know, though, that living in this world, we are what Luther liked to call both sinner and saint. You are a person who has been changed, have been claimed by Christ. You have been made a new person. But every day on this earth, you are going to battle that old person who still wants to do the old things, who still wants to retaliate, fight back against those who push and cause you to suffer, who still wants to give in to temptation. You are both sinner and saint at the same time. But by Jesus, you are healed. And that which is most important, your very soul, has been taken care of because of the just judge who judges you justly through Jesus Christ, who lives in you by His word, by baptism, through faith. You are shepherded and guarded by Christ, and through Him you live for righteousness. By what Christ has done for you, and through living in Christ, by His Spirit that has been placed within you, you are strengthened then to endure suffering as a Christian, even when it is done unjustly. By His wounds, you are healed. Let us pray. O gracious and heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Jesus Christ, who has died for us, who is the good shepherd, who laid down His life for His dear and beloved sheep. Help us, O Lord, to live as forgiven people, people who know you, who follow the voice of the shepherd, Strengthen us, O God, when we are in times of suffering. When times of temptation and persecution are upon us, help us, O Lord, by your strength to live how Jesus would live, to follow the example of the one who made us new people. We pray this in your name. Amen.